because we didn't get to the positives, the strengths of modern Orthodoxy, because we're always matched to end on time. Rabbi Rosner taught us the other night that you got to know your time limits. You got to end on time, otherwise people get antsy and then you lose out on the entire message that you're trying to give. So that's a good, a good lesson for speakers. But in this case, a number of guys came over to me and said, it ended so negative. You just were saying what was wrong with modern Orthodoxy at the end, or with not modern Orthodoxy, but the way the modern Orthodox community practices its Orthodoxy. As Rabbi Reuven Targan sent me a text today that he heard the, I wouldn't call it shiur, but the talk, I guess, and he sent me a link to his shiur on the topic of modern Orthodoxy. And one of the things he said he met someone from Israel who didn't speak English so well, an Israeli didn't speak English so well, and they said, what does the word modern mean? Does it mean not so much? So he said, why would you think that? He said, because it seems modern Orthodox, right? Not so much Orthodox. So no, the word modern does not mean not so much. That may be a perception in terms of the way that it is sometimes practiced, but we stand for something that is very, very much Orthodox, that is very fully committed Orthodox. So what is it that we do well? So one of the things that we do well, Rabbi Rosner pointed out the other night, b'shem Rav Asher Weiss, that certain ahavas Eretz Yisrael that we tend to have and we tend to try to inculcate in our children, that Eretz Yisrael is, aside from being a center of Torah, the greatest center of Torah in the world, or actually the greatest center of Torah probably in human history, but it's also just the land itself. It's the love that we because of Zionism and the confusion that Zionism caused among those who don't buy into the ideas of looking toward the future, seeing it as a first step toward Mashiach or anything of that nature. There is a tendency in the more yeshivish community in Chutz Laaretz to just sort of ignore Eretz Yisrael, because it gets too confusing when you talk about it. Meaning, what are we happy about? What are we not happy about? But when you're more all in, and even though we may be upset with the way some things are playing out, or the way that the government is not yet a Torah-centric government, even though we certainly hope it's going to head in that direction, you're able to be a little bit more all in Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. And that's where we find that in our community, our very, very best tend to make Aliyah. You know, I think of the guys who were like the best guys in the Beis Medrash when I was in YU, and many of them, if not most of them, have since made Aliyah. They've moved to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Rosner is not here now, so I can tell you, when he made Aliyah, his shul was busting at the seams. He was like a rising star in the American rabbinate scene. He was on the fast track to be a Rosh Yeshiva in YU. He was the future. But Eretz Yisrael was calling him. And Eretz Yisrael is calling him largely due to his upbringing and the belief that that's where a Jew ultimately belongs. And that is, I think, a net positive for the future of the Jewish people. Because as we know, the future of the Jewish people is not here in America. The future of the Jewish people is in Eretz Yisrael. I'll give you many other examples. Rabbi Gottlieb sends his kids here. Rabbi Gottlieb is also, he's a rav of a huge shul in Baltimore, also a rising star in the American rabbinate, and just one day picks up and goes to Eretz Yisrael. And we find that, we don't find that so much, I don't think, outside of the centrist/modern Orthodox community. So I think that is a very, very great strength. It's also a weakness for the American Orthodox community, obviously, because we end up, the American modern Orthodox community, because you end up with people like me running smicha programs, it ends up being a joke. So that's one thing. A second thing is, and this is, again, speaking in very broad strokes, because it's obviously not true of everyone. Whenever you stereotype, it's always very difficult. You're always inaccurate when you stereotype. But my experience has been, let's put it this way. I once spoke at a family simcha in Detroit. I said over a piece from Rav Moshe Feinstein, not a piece from the Dibros Moshe, nor a piece from the Igros Moshe, a piece from the Darash Moshe, from the Drash Moshe, which is like these little vartlach, you know. So, okay, I said a piece from the back of the Drash Moshe in Hebrew, so a little bit of a longer vart. But it was a vart. And someone came over to me and said, wow, I was very young at the time, I was still in Smicha and YU. Someone came over and said, wow, is YU producing such Talmidei Chachamim like you? I'm like, because I said like, you know, like a vart that like a fifth grader could say. Like, I didn't even understand like what they were talking about. I said, what do you mean? So the person said, you just said it so well and so clearly and whatever. So that had nothing to do with my scholarship. It just had to do with the fact that I was able to articulate complete sentences in a way that was understandable and structured. And there is a tendency among the very best in the Olam HaYeshivos, great Talmidei Chachamim very often, who lack the ability to articulate their ideas. Remember, we spoke the other night about making sure that when you speak, your ideas exist outside of your head before you share it with everybody else, either on paper or on a tablet, as the case may be, or you speak to somebody else, you tell it over to somebody else. I don't know why we're better at that. I mean, the two theories are, the classic theory is that when you go to college, you learn how to organize your ideas, and that's one of the advantages of a secular education. I'm not sure if that's the case, because I find that it's even true with those, this may be shocking to you, there are many in our community that do not take college all that seriously, that do not take all of their secular classes with the highest degree of seriousness and covid rosh and intensity. And you know, as one current YU Rosh Yeshiva, actually, when one of my chaverim asked him, what did you major in when you were in college, he said, graduating. And I think there are many people that have that sense. I think that comes from, to the extent that it's true, and I don't know for sure that it's true, but to the extent that it's true, I think it comes from the fact that we tend to be Talmidim or Talmidei Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik. And Rav Soloveitchik was unique in his generation as a teacher. He referred to himself always as a Melamed. I don't think he viewed that as a degrading title, as just being humble. I think he thought that was the highest title one could possibly have, that he was someone who was Melamed Torah. He was someone who was able to teach and express Torah, and that's something that the Talmidim sort of picked up on. Very often, if you find that you learn by a Rebbe for a certain amount of time, you pick up a lot of his mannerisms and a lot of his ways of thinking and ways of speaking. At least ideally, that's the way it should be. I can tell you, after 3 years in Lander, I noticed that I started picking up a lot of Rav Sachs's little mannerisms. Not as genius, unfortunately, but a lot of his, you know, the smaller things. And Talmidei Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik, I think, are just better positioned to speak in a clear, eloquent way that's going to make an impact in the way that it should. And that's why the larger part of the American rabbinate is really why you rabbis. Rabbi Penner said at the Ritz dinner this year, he said, you know, there's such a thing as a Chafetz Chaim rabbi, there's such a thing as a Ner Yisrael rabbi, there's such a thing as a Lakewood rabbi. He said, but there's no such thing as a YU rabbi, because that's just a rabbi, because, you know, they occupy the largest congregations and the largest number of congregations in the United States. And I think that's largely because in order to get the job, you got to go for a prava, and you have to be able to speak, and you have to speak in a way that will impress people, and that will be clear. Rav Lichtenstein lamented that of all the hespedim at the funeral for Avraham Cutler, I think we mentioned this the other night, last night, that the hesped of Irving Bunin was by far the best hesped. And he said the others were just saying he was a goyin and a tzaddik. Shkoyach, we know Rav Aaron Cutler was a goyin and a tzaddik. But Irving Bunin was able to see another layer that really made Rav Aaron unique. And Rav Lichtenstein attributed that to the fact that he was a balabas, that he lived in the secular world, and he was able to see more nuance in that which he was assessing. A third potential strength is that we tend to be able to see gray where others see black and white. And again, I'm speaking major generalities. There are lots of wonderful people in the Olam HaYeshivos that see plenty of gray and that are very nuanced in their way of thinking and speak very clearly. And I don't think we have many people that can compete with the oratory skills of Rav Yisachar Frand, who is certainly not modern Orthodox, even though out-of-town yeshivish is different. He grew up in Seattle. So that's... But nevertheless, I didn't say that. I mean, I'm just painting with very broad strokes. But we tend to be able to see a little more nuance because that's our whole lives. Our whole lives are living in the gray, where we're trying to straddle two worlds. A fourth, and that's very valuable, because if you postulate certain things and think other things are all good, sometimes you end up with a lot of the psolas together with the ochel, and sometimes you throw out the baby with the bathwater, and you have to be able to look at different things. You know, some people take where we're going to go tomorrow to this BBYO event. So Moreh Shekolo is all good. It's Kodesh Kodashim. That's wonderful. That's great. When you go to the BBYO event, there will be in the past there have been masmim that said, they saw. Whatever they saw, something they didn't like. I'm not going to give examples. Something they didn't like. The whole thing was a waste of time. Really? The whole thing was a waste of time? You hear a Jew who has some sort of pimply yid inside of them, who had no background or anything, talk about what Shabbos means to them, talk about what their favorite yontif is, what it means to be a Jew, why they want to marry Jewish. It doesn't impact you in any way. It doesn't talk to you in any way. It doesn't at least make you appreciate that when they talk about what it means to be Jewish, they don't even know what they're saying, and that you've been given the great treasure of a proper Jewish education. It's good to be able to see the good and the bad in things, and be able to reject the bad and accept that which is good. And that's essentially what we try to do with our lives. I mean, we're looking at secular culture, and as we mentioned the other night, the overwhelming majority of American secular culture in the 21st century is very far into Yiddishkeit, but at the same time, to try to absorb that which is positive. A fourth one, I don't know if this is true or not, but it is said that we have fewer kids going off the derech than you have in the more yeshivish communities, and the suggestion is made that I think they say that the derech has become so narrow that it's not that more kids are going off. The more narrow you make the derech by default, the more that people are not on it anymore. And perhaps the modern Orthodox derech is a bit wider, casts a bit of a wider net, where if you're a little bit different, you know, if you go to a place like DRS for high school and you have significant trouble learning, but you're really good at, you know, political activism, or you're really good at music, you're going to find something that hopefully the Rebbeim, and certainly the Menahel, the Rosh Yeshiva, will value that, will teach you to value it, and will build your confidence as a contributing member of that yeshiva. You won't feel like a loser. You won't feel like someone who's got nothing to offer. Very often in the world of yeshivos, because of the beautiful emphasis on Talmud Torah, which we spoke about the other night, is one of our weaknesses, but the beautiful, tremendous emphasis on Talmud Torah, a person sometimes can feel like a loser if they don't make it in Talmud Torah. And as challenging as that could be when you're in high school or yeshiva, it's even more challenging when you go out into the workforce and you feel like you're a failure just for being there, just for having to work, because the guys who made it got to sit and learn in Kollel for 20 years, and by you not being able to do that, sometimes this is a challenge that they're aware of and they're working on. But one of our strengths is that a person can feel like he's living a lechatchilo life, not like, you know, Rav Huttner writes in his letter, not like a double life, but he's actually living a lechatchilo dikka life, because he is succeeding in the secular world as a ben Torah, as a person who represents the Torah, and he views his interactions as an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem. He knows how to speak to non-religious Jews, to non-Jews, in a way that makes a Kiddush Hashem. And that's something to strive for and to be proud of. It's not something to be saddened by. And I think the final strength that we have is that we believe it's correct, meaning we believe in something. It's not, and this is a strength that the yeshiva world has also. But ultimately, why is it that you belong to a certain community? Not because you were born into that community, but because you believe in its mission. You believe in its teachings. Remember we spoke about the other day, how we define by the Zionism, the respect for outside culture, the different features of what it is. We believe in that. No, I'm not speaking for everybody here, but people believe in that. And if you believe in it, even if it's harder, and it doesn't make life easier, it makes life much more challenging, and harder to explain to your kids, and harder to explain who you are to someone who's not religious, and to someone, because the not religious person understands the chassid, right? Understands the person who lives in the insular community. They understand the secular Jew. They have a harder time understanding, what are we? Are we modern? Is modern not so much? I mean, what are you exactly? So it's not easier, it's not always easier, but we believe that we have a mission in this world, and part of the mission of a Jew is also to be an Or LaGoyim, to engage the world. Most of our history, we haven't had the opportunity to do so, because all the Goyim ever wanted to do is kill us. But in those rare instances where we actually have the ability to do so, we should engage in Tikkun Olam. Yeah, the Reform took over Tikkun Olam, but they're doing a terrible job at it, because it's not done al pi Torah. We shouldn't let them set the agenda of how Tikkun Olam. So we have to. Part of our job is to represent a nuanced, thoughtful, deeply religious and committed and devoted dedication to God, and we represent that. We should represent that. We ought to represent that to the rest of the world. So these are some of the strengths of the modern / centrist community. And again, I do not mean to suggest that if someone is yeshivish, it means that they hate Israel and they're terrible communicators and they only see things as black and white because they're unsophisticated. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying that these are the tendencies that we find that in our community we tend to be better at, despite the fact that every community has its challenges. So, okay, so is that a positive enough note to end on? We should all be proud, respect your rebbeim. Rabbi Razin told me he went to visit Moresh HaKolo yesterday, and he said he was sitting with Rav Yitzchak Kohn and Rav Mordechai Willig, and he said to them, you know, sometimes like I'm with my rebbeim now, I feel like a certain sense of gilu bara'ada. You know, like he's so joyous, but at the same time, it's like a little terrifying when you're with your rebbeim. You know, it's like a good kind of fear. So he said that Rabbi Willig said, yeah, gilu, and he points to himself, bara'ada, and he points to Rabbi Kohn. So, but yeah, respect your rebbeim, you know, respect Talmidei Chacham, and strive for more, and try to attach yourself to the Olam HaTorah, the whole Olam HaTorah, with all of its diversity, but realize that you are an important part of that Olam HaTorah, and you should always feel that way.